I'm going to return to an unfinished. Topic this morning, and I go back to the first chapter of Acts and verse 8. I think I brought about three different messages from this text, but I have another one or two to bring from it. And says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Samaria and all Judea and Jerusalem, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now the power to witness for the Lord is a great power.
Amen.
And we surely need that, because we are here as witnesses. He said, ye are my witnesses. And we are to bear witness of His saving grace, His keeping power. The best way we can do it is not just by word of mouth. That turns out to be a kind of a poor way sometimes. By word of mouth. And it turns out to be a kind of a damaging way when we present the name of Jesus before the world along with some shabby living and different things like that. It's kind of a damaging way. But the power to sustain victory in your life and mine is the best witness that we can give of the Lord Jesus. The question arises, does the Lord have a good witness where you are? That's what He said, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses unto me. And does the Lord have a good witness where you are? Where you work, where you live, at your home, with your family, at your school, with your friends, with those with whom you associate, wherever you're involved, does the Lord have a good witness where you are? It takes power from God to be able to do that. We discussed the thought of the power of an endless life working in us was what we needed. Power over ourselves, power over our wills, and power in our lives to submit ourselves and humble our hearts and be able to please God and get along with one another. I tell the folks often that one of the greatest needs we have today is to learn to live together and love one another.
Amen.
And appreciate one another. And then we discussed the thought of permissible things, the power that they have, and that the Holy Ghost will give you power over permissible things to put them out of your lives if you're being hindered by them in your spiritual life. We discussed the thought of your mind, your thinking, and that the Holy Ghost would give you power to govern your mind and control your thoughts and to cast out the unpleasant and undesirable thoughts before they destroy you.
Amen.
And ruin you.
Yes.
Now that's just what they'll do if you don't cast them out. And those are the kind that are the hardest to cast out. It seems our minds work so backward. The things that would bless our lives and encourage us and enrich our souls and increase our faith and draw us closer to God, seems are so hard to remember. And the things that actually gouge us and just keep prodding at us and are detrimental to us because somebody's grated on us or done us wrong or said something bad to us or something, seems like we can never forget those things and they're just tearing us down all the time. But God will give you and me power to regulate our thinking and to control our minds and govern our thoughts and remember the things that we should and cast out the things that we should, that we might be guided in the right direction. After all, according to God's words, you are what you think. Maybe you never thought of that just like that, but God's word said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you are what you think, and your thoughts make you, and if you allow your mind to dwell on unpleasant and undesirable and grating, disturbing, agitating thoughts, they're going to make your life unstable and just like that. Now I'm going to talk about your feelings. It'll give you power, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of an endless life working in you, will give you power over your innermost feelings. Now, we have an instruction in the fourth chapter of Ephesians in verse 26, and it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now what does that mean? Do you suppose we can do that? Do you suppose God has given us any instruction in his word that we can't do? I say that everything that God has commanded of you and me to do, he sends the mechanics right along with it to enable us to do that. Amen. When he said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, he sent the mechanics right along with that to help us to handle our lives like that. Amen. And our feelings. Impression that this text makes on me is this, that God expects you and me to pray out from under our hurts and wounds and bruises and disappointments and agitations and to do it quickly. Don't let those things lay. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Just pray out from under it quickly. In the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 26, he said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now God knew how difficult it was going to be for a person that had been offended. He said in his word that a brother offended is harder to gain than a strong city. These things have deep effects on people. Yeah. And he knew just how deep the effects would be and how severe they would be and the problems that we would have with these kind of things. God knew everybody wasn't going to treat you and me right all the time, and that wrong treatment and things that people do to us and say to us would affect us quite deeply. He knew that. So he sent the Holy Spirit to help our infirmities. Infirmities here refers to human weaknesses and limitations. And he has given the Holy Spirit into the hearts of believers to enable them to cast out every bitter feeling and every resentful feeling and every hard feeling and every hurt feeling. Well, somebody says, I'm human. Yeah, you're human. God knew that. He knew you were human and that you had your human limitations. And so He sent the Holy Spirit to help you out beyond your human.
Amen.
And when the human breaks down and refuses to go through, bow to the Spirit and He'll help you through. He's here for that purpose. His Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And so when He told us to let not the sun go down upon our wrath, He provided us with the Holy Spirit to give us power to do it that way and to throw off the things that would be detrimental to us. I remember Brother Eddie Wilson in one of his messages here over in the old chapel, he said he had been toying around with the idea for some little time of doing a certain thing, and I don't suppose it was sin because he wouldn't have been toying with that kind of an idea, but anyway, he had about made up his mind to do that. He said when he did, the Lord appeared on the scene and spoke to him and said, all right, you can do that. You can go right ahead if you want to do that. You can go ahead and do that. But says, I want you, when you do it, to do it with the full understanding that I was standing right here by you with plenty of grace for you to do what I wanted you to do and not do that. Now the Lord's standing right here by you with plenty of grace to help you that the sun don't go down on your wrath. You can pray out from under those hurts and wounds and bruises and do it quickly. And you know, He gives us an admonition in His Word in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 15, about Esau. And he said, don't be like him. Said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I don't know how many, and I don't know who. I know some folks, but I don't know who, but I don't go around saying, you're in and you're out, and you're in and you're out, and you're in and you're out. But God said many were defiled with this thing. And I dare say that if you let the sun go down on your wrath and let those things linger and lay in your heart and in your mind, they're going to take some roots, and they'll be bitter roots too. They'll be roots of bitterness. The thing to do is to dispose of them before they take any roots. They'll be hard to uproot if you entertain them and keep them around till they take some roots, and they'll be roots of bitterness. And there's no place in heaven for any bitterness. You're going to have to get rid of all your bitterness somewhere along the line. And it's better to get rid of your hurts and wounds and bruises before they produce bitterness.
Amen.
Before they take any root. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The Holy Spirit standing right here by you to help you to fulfill that.
Amen.
And to give you power in your life over your innermost feelings. Richard Wurmbrand, who was one of the activists in the underground church movement behind the Iron Curtain in the Iron Curtain countries, I think well, I don't remember now just what country he was a native of, but he was from an Iron Curtain country and had had experience in all of them and spent a good number of years in a communist prison for his faith. At different times, he was in and out and in and out, but all told, he had spent about 15 years, I believe, in communist prisons and had been tortured within inches of his life, so to speak, numbers of different times, and beaten till he wasn't able to get up the next day. They beat them till they're just about ready to die, and then they take them back to their cells and leave them. This man, he was beaten for preaching to the prisoners. They worked out a code whereby they'd tap off a code, dots, dashes kind of thing, on the walls, and the people over there could hear that. And so he got beaten so many times, and finally he just told him, he said, "You beat and I'll preach." And they took him at his word, and he got a lot of beatings, nearly beat to death several different times, had marks and bruises on his body to show, like Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of the dying of the Lord Jesus," and he did in his. But after all of that, he said one of the greatest things that I feel that anybody could say, and that really demonstrated the power of God's grace. He said, "I hate communism, but I love the communists." He said, "If I could convert a communist to Christ, it would be the greatest of my ambition. I hate communism, but I love the communist. I love the people." If you don't watch, you'll get to hating the people. If people vex you pretty much and try you pretty bad and treat you pretty bad, you get to hating the people. You'll get a resentment toward them. And that's very detrimental to Christian living. God's provided you and me with the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to regulate our spiritual lives and to live our lives like He would have us to live them. Many times our hurts are a product of self-love anyhow. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? You just thought, "I'm human." But you love your human too much. And your hurts are a result of self-love many times. And many times your hurts are not laid at the right place. You get hurt at people. Most of our problems are with people anyhow. I've said numbers of times that if I were the only person living in this whole world, nobody here but me, I think I could be pretty good saved all the time. Fella couldn't get along with himself and be pretty bad off, wouldn't he? I think I'd be pretty good saved all the time. Well, it didn't turn out that way. I wasn't the only fella around here. There were some beside me. But I've also said that if everybody just bowed to me all the time, nobody crossed me, and nobody said anything about me or treated me bad or anything, everybody just bowed to me and I got my way all the time, I still think maybe I could be pretty good saved. But it didn't turn out that way either. Everybody doesn't bow to me, and I don't get my way all the time. Well, my problem then is to learn to keep the victory and keep saved and keep my soul pure with people not bowing to me and not letting me have my way and crossing me up and saying bad things to me and about me and all that. I can still have the victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, it's the Holy Spirit that's lacking when we don't have power enough in our lives to handle these things and to gain quick victory over them. I remember Brother Chandler telling in one of his messages about back when he was young and in the beginning of his ministry, he said he went somewhere at a whole meeting and something happened over there and it hurt him. He thought they didn't do him right and it hurt him and he went away from there hurt. Nobody else thought they hurt him and there wasn't any apologies made. So he went away from there hurt. Went on down there to another place, the whole meeting, and just about the same identical thing happened down there and hurt him again. And he went away from there hurt. He went over to a third place. And just about the same identical thing happened over there and hurt him again. Well, he began to wake up about that time. When he got hurt the same way, three different times he began to wake up and he said, Isaac, it's you. You're where the problem is. He said he went out and humbled his heart before God and prayed through that day and told God, said, now there's something the matter with me. He said, I've been laying it on these brethren, blaming them, but God, there's something the matter with me and I want it fixed now. He said he prayed through till God gave him victory and he says, I've never been hurting him that way from that day till now. Amen. He just got victory over that thing. The Holy Spirit is always standing by if we'll just recognize it. Just like Eddie Wilson. I want you to know when you do that, I'm standing right here by your side with plenty of grace for you to do what I wanted you to do. Not to do that. The Holy Spirit is always present. If we will just recognize Him and bow to Him. Sometimes people come to ministers and say, I've got a case with so-and-so here. I wish you ministers would straighten that out. Oh, you got a case with somebody? Yes. Did somebody do you wrong? Somebody hurt you? Yes, they did. You got hurt over it? Yes. And you want us to straighten it out? Yes. Well, when did this thing happen? Oh, I don't know. Maybe year before last. Oh, somebody hurt you year before last? Yeah. And you're still hurt? Yeah. And you want us to straighten it out? Yeah. All right, we'll just start in on you. I'll guarantee you by the time a fella carries his hurt since year before last, he's going to need some fixing too by then. That's a place to start in on a deal like that. People that just hold their hurts and hold their grudges and are unmerciful and unforgiving and don't get victory over their feelings, they need some help. You can't straighten out anything between them and anybody else till they get some help. Well, God can give you and me power to behave ourselves and to gain victories in those kind of situations. Another power that the Holy Ghost will work in you and me, and we need it badly, is power to just plain shut our mouths. Did you know that's kind of hard to do? Did you know that God's Word said the tongue is an unruly evil and no man can tame it? Did you know the Bible said that? you say, what are you talking to me about now? Bible said no man can tame it, and here you're talking to me about shutting my mouth. Well, both of those have their place. You can't tame it, but the Holy Ghost can. I'm talking about the power of an endless life working in you. Power in your soul to help you to govern and control your tongue and your conversation and the words that you speak. Help you speak right. Speak the right things in the right way. The right tone of voice. The Holy Spirit can give you and me power to behave ourselves like Christian people should. You know what I've seen, and I've actually experienced this. Before I say that, I want to say that there are many things that are kept alive a lot longer than they have any right to live by just people talking about them. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Gossip, gossip, gossip. Many things would have died a natural death a long time ago if people had just shut their mouths and kept quiet. That's so. But we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And God knew we couldn't do it. So He provided the Holy Spirit to help our infirmities. To help us out beyond our human limitations. Now I'll go ahead and tell you what I started to tell you. I've seen people before now, and I've been involved in these kind of things. They'll just talk, 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 and I've seen them. You could talk them clear down and out. They had no more to say. And they'd leave your presence, go away and sleep over it. Well, I said sleep, but I guess they mulled over it the most of the night. Come back in the morning and start on you again. Them folks need more power in their lives than what they have. They need more victory than what they have. Power to just plain shut our mouths. The 26th chapter of Proverbs in verse 20. He said, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And you know what? I'm admonishing the saints and entreating them everywhere I go. Unload your wood. Throw down all your wood. Quit adding fuel to the fire. The fire will go out. Many things would have died a natural death a long time ago if people would just have went on and tended to their own business and let those things alone, they'd have just died a natural death. We keep throwing a little more wood on the fire. Keep fanning the flame. Keep agitating things. We need power to just plain shut our mouths. You know, I'm going to say something and you won't agree with me. You'll look cross-eyed at me when I say it. But I'm going to say I've seen a common evil in the church of God. Oh, you look kind of out of the corner of your eye about that. Evil in the church of God? Yeah, that's just what I said. You heard it right. And I believe I'm just going to leave it said. I don't think I'm going to take that up. It springs from a good idea, all right. The family idea. God's saints is a family. And that family relationship is a blessed thing. But we take too much liberty sometimes with other members of the family. You just talk over their problems and their troubles and make it a common topic of conversation among ourselves and so on and talk about them till they're humiliated and they're offended and they don't want to meet you and maybe don't even show up at meeting anymore. Now that's bad, isn't it? Hurt, offended, wounded. I say when you take the liberty to talk about some of the brethren's problems and personal matters and their shortcomings or whatever it is and make it a general topic of conversation, you've already carried the family idea too far then. That's not conducive to sound health in the body of Christ and in the church. We need power to control our tongues. The tongue is a wonderful thing. The power of speech is a great thing. And I admonish you to not be afraid to talk. Just be afraid to talk the wrong thing or in the wrong way or at the wrong time. But he says that words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Isn't that a wonderful setting?
Amen.
Said the power of life and death is in the tongue. You can give life through your words, but you can give death through your words too. One translation says they cut me down with bitter words. Isn't that sad? Somebody should have had more power in their lives than what they had. Power to control their tongues. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can control your tongue. Not in your own power. The Bible said that no man can tame it. It isn't in your power to tame it. But God gave you the power of the Holy Ghost that you could tame it. The Holy Ghost can tame it. And we need to live under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit continually. To think right, act right, feel right, talk right, be right. We need to live under the power of the Holy Spirit continually. The power of life and the power of death is in the tongue. Make a slip with your tongue and cut somebody down. Destroy them. Or say the right thing and lift them up and encourage them and comfort them. Be a source of strength and help to them. The clock's going around there. The time's up. I just want to drop out another little thought for you to consider and for me not to enlarge upon, and that is breaking power. We need breaking power as well as pulling power. And we need to be able to stop as well as to go. And there are some limits that we are to observe. And our brother's conscience and his feelings sets up one boundary and limit to our liberty. Though Paul said these things, he brought it up under the heading of eating meat sacrificed to idols. And he says it's not sinful. It's not wrong. We know the idol's nothing. We know that the sacrifice is nothing. It's good food and to be received with thanksgiving. But after he'd gone through all of that, he turned right around and said, when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. A thing that wasn't sin becomes sin if we persisted in it in the presence of people who had conscientious scruples regarding it. And we need stopping power. Ability to stop, to control ourselves, to limit ourselves, even in our own liberties, when the occasion requires it, as well as power to go. We may think, just go, 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 that's it. But stop, stop, stop is it too, when stop is in order. And we need that kind of power in our lives, breaking power, stopping power. And I repeat what I said a while ago, the great thing that we need to learn is to learn to live together and love one another and appreciate one another and respect one another and one another's feelings and one another's conscience, regard one another. And that will circumscribe and set a limit on our liberties and our freedoms that we enjoy in Christ. That's one of them. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'd like to say a lot more about that and another thing or two, but the clock's going around there, and so I'm trusting the Lord to make this series of messages on the power of an endless life working in us a blessing to all of our lives.